Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. As always, glad to join you. Coming to you after last night in which we had another great night of action in the NBA. Defense was the name of the game. While all four teams that played did have good offensive stretches, it was late defense by the Nuggets to extend their series against the Clippers and also great defense by the Celtics in order to get past the Toronto Raptors and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals to face the Heat. Obviously, tonight we've got the Lakers and the Rockets. The Lakers are looking to get past the Rockets and become the first Western Conference team to get to the Conference Finals. And as a Clippers fan, you have to hope for that after last night, while the Rockets obviously are looking to extend their series. Of course, the news about Daniel House and what occurred in the bubble surrounding him, he now has left the bubble due to violations of, you know, league rules. That obviously is a blow to the Rockets, so it could play a part in the Lakers ending the series tonight. But obviously, we're here to talk about the Grizzlies, and as always, you can find myself at StatsSAC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. You can find our podcast. Any more podcasts may be available. Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you may choose to listen. And we ask that you do listen, subscribe, review, and I would certainly hope you enjoy it. Let us know, though, what you think. We always appreciate feedback. And if you want something to be discussed on the show, please provide us content. Send me or the show a DM on Twitter, and we would be glad to talk about it. We always want to make sure we're putting content out there that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. On today's show, we are going to finish up our player review series, talking about the front court options, the front court starters that the Grizzlies feel are the, you know, basically the integral part of their core with Ja Morant going forward. But before we get to that, do want to talk a little bit about the news that came out yesterday. Now, if you remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned that I felt that the first bit of news, the first domino to fall this offseason, was going to be the Grizzlies filling the void in their coaching staff that was left by Nielle Ivey going back to her alma mater and becoming the head coach of the University of Notre Dame Lady Fighting Irish. She obviously took over. She was an assistant coach there under legendary coach Muffet McGraw. She came to the Grizzlies for an opportunity that seemed, you know, great for both her and the Grizzlies, made a great impact here, and then went back to take a job that, in my opinion, likely, you know, was her dream job, you know, from playing there and also being an assistant coach there. Well, the Grizzlies went a familiar route to fill the void on their coaching staff, and they hired Coach Sonia Ramon. Coach Ramon comes from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, as it's widely known. She had been the basketball coach of the Lady Engineers team there for 12 years, had led them to unprecedented success. So she certainly has a background in basketball. But it seems beyond that, while that certainly played a factor in her being hired, she also made a great impression. It certainly seems that from her background, you know, she does have a business background similar to many of the minds that are already on the coaching staff and also in the front office. And it also, it certainly plays right into what Coach Jenkins had said at the end of the season press conference when he was looking for another mind to fill the coaching staff. It's not just their basketball history. It's the way that they think, their perspective. He wanted a lot of diversity and a lot of diverse and various perspectives on the coaching staff. And from Coach Ramon's history, both as a coach and from her background, you know, beyond coaching, it certainly seems like she brings that to the table. So it seems to be an incredible hire. And again, another move that really is admirable by the Grizzlies. You know, you saw it. You saw from several different places on Twitter and social media and just in general opinions, it seems like that the Grizzlies are continuing to have a very positive overall impression, are building a very positive reputation as a franchise, certainly a contrast from the previous front office. So a great hire by the Grizzlies, and hopefully Coach Ramon will add a lot of you know, positive value to the team as time goes on. Certainly she's got a lot to work with herself, but also there's a lot of opportunity here with the Grizzlies, and hopefully working with the organization will benefit her and vice versa in time. But let's get into the player review series, and we're going to start with the one player who I don't have anything to review as far as a Grizzlies game goes on his resume. Now, that's nothing against Justice Winslow. It just didn't work out. But wanted to talk a little bit about Justice Winslow. Now, obviously, Winslow has not played a game for the Grizzlies, but you certainly would not know that that would have any impact on his outlook with Memphis, because both Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins, before the play in the bubble started, and even at the end of the media or end of the year media session, they continued to speak and give rave reviews for Winslow, not only because of what they feel he can do on the court when he's healthy, but also off the court. Now, obviously, Justice Winslow was acquired at the trade deadline. We traded Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, and Solomon Hill to the Heat for Deion Waiters, James Johnson, and Winslow. We waived Waiters, traded Johnson for Gorgui Dieng, but the key of the trade was to get Justice Winslow. And the reason why is because the Grizzlies felt that with the contract that he had in place, Winslow was in this past season was in the first year of a 3-year, $39 million contract. That third year is a team option. But they felt that that was a bargain because Winslow had signed that contract due to some injury concerns. Well, he comes to the Grizzlies. He's here for a month. They knew when they traded for him he wasn't going to be able to play for a little bit. And the day of March 11th, the Grizzlies had traveled to Portland to play that night. Winslow was going to make his debut. Of course, that was the night this season was suspended. Well, then when over 4.5 months or so between March 11th and when the season started, there was a lot of rave reviews about Winslow. The Coach Jenkins spoke glowingly of him when they started the training camp in the bubble. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation of what he could bring to the Grizzlies in their playoff pursuit. But of course, that was not to be, as unfortunately, the week before the Grizzlies started their restart to the season, Justice Winslow went down with a hip injury in practice. Kept him out. Obviously, he was in crutches. I believe it was called a hip displacement. Now, the good thing is that so far the recovery has been perfectly fine. Zach Kleiman said he's right on schedule. Should be no question. He should be healthy to begin the season. Also, they feel that this was just a freak injury. They don't feel as if there's anything long term that's going to come from it. The concerning thing is, though, of course, and the Grizzlies do acknowledge this, though they feel it's been more of the freak injury and just bad luck on Winslow's case instead of being injury prone. The thing is, though, is that these injuries are mounting up. So it is something to keep in the back of the mind. Hopefully, Justice Winslow will be healthy for the Grizzlies next season, but it's not a guarantee. And obviously, it's going to have that's going to be a big factor in if the Grizzlies pick up the team option for him, in the 2021-2022 season. As of right now, I think that is going to happen, but hopefully it'll be because of good play and health. But what exactly is it about Winslow that the Grizzly that makes him so valuable in the Grizzlies' eyes? Well, in my opinion, as I've mentioned a few times in the past, it's because Winslow's style of play and where his strengths are really matches up well with where the Grizzlies could use depth and could strengthen the Grizzlies' weaknesses. And that is good perimeter play both on offense and defense. On offense as a secondary playmaker and distance shooter, and on defense as a big athletic body that can help guard the perimeter against other teams. Now, on offense, what do I mean by, his playmaking and his shooting? Well, think about it is that over the past, 2 years, Winslow has averaged over 4 assists per game through 77 games. That would have been third on the Grizzlies. And when you think about it, yes, the Grizzlies did have a secondary playmaker at times in the lineup with Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Kyle Anderson, but Kyle Anderson really was not that athletic of a threat. Justice Winslow is. He can drive to the basket, he can create his own shot, but that secondary playmaking mixed with the athletic ability that he has to do multiple things, it's another wrinkle to the offense. And what it allows for is it allows for those three players, Brooks, Jackson Jr., and Morant, to move more off the ball and set themselves up for shots, which would be another wrinkle to the Grizzlies' offense, just giving it more depth and consistency. But Winslow himself is not just a good passer. He also has potential to be able to shoot. Now, he's not necessarily that good of a shooter himself when it comes to creating his own shot, but what he is someone who has shown success, especially in the 2017, 2018, 2018, 2019 seasons. For instance, last year, Justice Winslow shot 221 threes in catch-and-shoot opportunities where he received the pass behind the arc and then shot the ball, obviously. He made 91 of those 221 shots, good for 41%. That would have put him among the best three-point shooters on the team. And this time, if he can continue that success from three and catch and shoot opportunities on offense when he's in the game as a starter, that gives the Grizzlies a starting option that they can rely on from distance instead of on their bench where they have Tyus Jones and Grayson Allen who have shown the ability to be reliable in catch-and-shoot situations. So as a secondary playmaker and a potentially reliable shooter in catch-and-shoot situations on the outside. Justice Winslow's skill set brings a few aspects to the Grizzlies' offense that they currently don't have a lot of depth in. But the big reason why I think that there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of anticipation and why Grizzlies fans should be very anxious to see Winslow play is his ability on defense. Over his career, Justice Winslow has been worth 8.8 defensive win shares. That means that he is a very good defensive player, potentially. And it's not just that he can create steals and blocks, you know, at a pretty good rate for a wing. It's the fact that with his size, he can body up and position himself very well. He can actually limit highly talented scorers on the outside at times. And as we know from in the bubble, if the Grizzlies could have just gotten a few stops on the perimeter, perhaps made a couple of open threes harder to hit, or kept, you know, another wing from driving to the basket, if they could have got a couple more stops, they could have won a couple of games and been in the playoffs. So if they can now have a person they can rely on to do that each night, then that's a big boost to the Grizzlies. So overall, the idea of what Justice Winslow could be is certainly, you know, it's very exciting. There's a lot of encouragement to want to see what he could do with this core. The whole thing, though, is can he stay healthy? Hopefully that will be the case. However, you're not in the wrong if you're not fully convinced of that from his history. But hopefully in time, once he's ready to go next season, he'll be at full health and we'll really be able to see what he can bring the Grizzlies and hopefully make the roster overall improve as a whole. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jonas Valanciunas and how, in my opinion, he certainly has become entrenched as a clear member of this Grizzlies core going forward. We've all relied on restaurants as an outlet to escape the stress and rigors of everyday life, to go enjoy a quality meal that those that we love and a great time out with the folks that we care for. That option may not be available now, but now restaurants actually are relying on us and we can still rely on them to get the food that we love. Even though we can't go in and sit, that food can still be delivered via the app called DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose your favorite national restaurants, like Wendy's and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at the door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about Jonas Valanciunas. Now, with Jonas, it's amazing to me how a player, in terms of what Jonas brings to the table, how a player can be so good statistically, like Jonas is. With what Jonas does, he does it very well as an inside low post presence and rebounder. But the thing about it is that Jonas also plays a position that in the NBA today is just not as valued as it once is. So the thing that I will say about Jonas Valanciunas is that if you've listened to the podcast, you know, over the past several months, we talked a bit about Jonas Valanciunas, me and Mark, on a few of the episodes we did together. And, you know, we both mentioned that if the Grizzlies if another team were to come to the Grizzlies and offer a relevant and valuable future asset, yes, we would trade Jonas Valanciunas. And I still feel that way. But I feel like this season, in the bubble, and before the season, you know, and as the season went along, I feel like with what Jonas brings to the table for the Grizzlies, and the overall quality of play, when it comes to doing his job, how well Jonas does it, the idea of trading him away, or the idea of, and I'm not going to get into, you know, the idea of trading him away, but the idea of, entertaining trading him away if a deal made sense, it's not so much Jonas and that he's a bad player and that he's not good at what he does or that he's not valuable for the Grizzlies. He is. We're going to get into that in just a second. But it's more due to the fact that it seems like that with the way Taylor Jenkins wants to play ball and with the way that Jonas plays with his skill set, it just seems like that there's less value in that than there once was. I mentioned it a time or two before. When you look at Jonas Valanciunas and the way that he plays, it is amazing how comparable his per 36 minutes and advanced statistics, how similar they are to Zach Randolph. Now, Jonas and Zach are a bit different. Jonas is a bit more of an impactful defensive player, especially when it comes to protecting the rim. But in terms of rebounding, they both are very, very valuable for that job. And they both play with that aggressive style. They give their roster an added edge. And that's what Jonas certainly does, and that's why he's valuable. But let's get into what exactly Jonas did this season, in my opinion, to, yes, in theory, with the position that he plays and how he plays, he may not be a long-term piece for the Grizzlies when they truly become a contender. But for right now, I do feel Jonas's play this year certainly has made him a clear part of this core going forward. Jonas actually arguably had the best season of his career. He averaged 14.9 points per game. Now, that was not his highest points per game total. It wasn't as high as when he was with the Grizzlies in his career, but it still was the most points that he's ever scored because he played more minutes than he was featured more than he had been in the past. He averaged 14.9 points. He played 26.4 minutes a game, started all 70 games that he played in. Another big key for Jonas this year was his health, as that had been an issue for him in recent years. But he did shoot the best from the field. He shot 58.5% from the field, the highest of his career, while he averaged the second most shots per game in his career. He averaged 10.5 shots per game. He also made the most threes and attempted the most threes in his career and shot 35%. Jonas, especially as a trailing big when the Grizzlies push the ball up the court, he's not that bad of an option to shoot the three and showed decent decision-making of when to and when not to shoot. Like I say, it was a career year for Jonas in the aspect of he scored the most points of his career, made the most threes of his career, and shot the best from the field that he has in his career. He may not have been as dominant as he was in previous years, but the overall body of work, this arguably could have been, you arguably could say this was the best season of Jonas's career so far. But the thing about it is this, his offense is great. Jonas is clearly a presence on the block. But it's his rebounding that truly made a difference. Jonas this season averaged 11.3 rebounds per game. That actually was the highest of his career. And because of his rebounding, he was the clear, not only rebounding source, but he was the clear dominant rebounding source in the Grizzlies lineups. When you think of rebounding, you think of Jonas when it comes to the Grizzlies. But it's not just because he stands out as, he kind of like Dylan Brooks is the only option we have to really be a pull-up shooter. It's not like that. Jonas is actually a quality contributor when it comes to rebounding. He had the highest rebounding rate of his career in terms of rebounds per game, and he also allowed the Grizzlies to be in the top 15 in the league when it came to both offensive and defensive rebounding percentage. And it's not just that this is a fluke. Jonas has consistently gotten better at rebounding when it comes to his career. As a matter of fact, Jonas has played a little over 14,000 minutes in his career. And when you take that into consideration, and you also look at the fact that he has a total rebounding percentage of 19.8 rebounds, that means of the available rebounds that are able to be corralled when a player is on the court, Jonas Valanciunas gets nearly 20% of those rebounds when he's on the court in whatever lineup he plays. Jonas is one of only five active players in the NBA right now who can say they played over 14,000 minutes and have a total rebounding percentage of 19.5% or more. The other four names, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, and Andre Drummond. Now, several of those players are players just like Jonas, and that the value of their position has declined. But in terms of what they do, in terms of what they do well, they do it quite well. And you've got names that are potential Hall of Famers and also all NBA performers, and that's where Jonas compares. So in terms of what Jonas brings to the table, he does it very well. But it's also the impact that he has on the team. Through Jonas being involved in the Grizzlies lineups, this has allowed Jaren Jackson Jr. to develop and evolve as an outside shooter instead of having to focus on the areas of his game that are going to naturally take time to develop, like rebounding and playing in the low post. It has allowed for Jackson Jr. to develop unique parts of his game that for his size can be a clear advantage. Also, there is the outside aspect of Jonas Valanciunas off the court or even on the court. Jonas is basically a big brother to this roster. All the Grizzlies young players, when it came to Jonas declining his player option back last in June of 2019 and signing the 3-year $45 million contract with the Grizzlies, all of these young players wanted Jonas back because of how well he got along with them and how impactful he was. And he's there as the enforcer. He brings an attitude to the Grizzlies starting lineup to where he lets it be known that if you're coming down low, you're going to have to contend with him. And if there's a loose ball or a rebound, he's going to get it. He's also going to be there to protect the Grizzlies. I believe it was Marcus Morris, who we know has had issues in the bubble with what, you know, with Luka Doncic in the New York game in which Elfrid Payton went after Jay Crowder earlier this year, and it wound up being a scuffle between Payton and Crowder, and Ja Morant got involved. Marcus Morris went right to Ja Morant and pushed him. Jonas Valanciunas was right there to get into Morris's space. We've seen a couple of other scuffles between Valanciunas and Hassan Whiteside, and also Valanciunas and Herron Giles. He likes to set an understanding that just because the Grizzlies are young, just because they're a fast-paced, you know, up and down team, they also have some edges and some toughness to them, and that certainly is valuable against more talented teams. So we can sit here and talk about how the position of center is devalued all day long, and it's true. And also there is the understanding that in terms of what Taylor Jenkins wants to do with his lineups, he seems to be trending more to going with the faster pace, more athletic lineups, which a lot of times keeps Jonas out of the equation. I stated before, I felt Jonas should have been featured more in the bubble than he was. So there is that aspect of things, that Jonas isn't a perfect fit for Taylor Jenkins' system, and he's also not a perfect fit in what is valued in today's NBA. But for what he brings to the table, he does it quite well. He obviously has value for the Grizzlies, and while long term he may not necessarily be here for 5 to 7 years, I feel like that he is an essential part to this young core continuing to grow. And it's not just because of what he does on the court, but how bought he is, how much he is has embraced Memphis and is certainly bought into what his role is as the big brother, as the guy who does the dirty work down low, as the rebounding and physical force. That's something that you have to admire about Jonas Valanciunas. He knows what his role is, he does it quite well, and he takes pride in doing it. And I also think that he is really enjoying the culture that's being built here in Memphis and the success of this young core. So both off the court and on the court, Jonas Valanciunas clearly brings value. And while that may eventually lead to a potential trade for him, or it may be that he's just here for a few more years, he clearly is leaving, in my opinion, he is clearly going to leave a lasting impression for what he did on the court and how well he embraced the culture, embraced Memphis, and the role that he played for this young core off the court. When we return, we're going to talk about, the besides Ja Morant, the one player who means so much to the future of this franchise, Jaren Jackson Jr. Each of us would love to add a healthy routine to our daily schedule, but it's just hard to do with the stress and rigors that are out there in everyday life. However, a solution that may be out there is known as Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like candy, that tastes like a candy bar. Typically with protein bars, you got to substitute one for the other. It either tastes good with not a lot of health benefits or vice versa. Well, with Built Bar, you get both, and it's a great option for you in the morning during breakfast, before and after a workout, maybe in the afternoon when you're listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. If you go to Built Bar, you actually will be able to choose from a wide assortment of options. I personally love the peanut butter, but there are a lot of different flavors depending on what you like. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and enter the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order of Built Bar. But I can tell you this, when you go and do it and you add that to your daily routine, it's going to be a part of your daily routine. I can say with confidence it won't be the last order that you make. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. Really excited for the start of next week. We will have Locked On Heat host David Ramil as our guest on Monday. We're going to talk, obviously, about the Heat's surprise run. Definitely the surprise of the bubble so far. Their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, well, where they will be facing the Celtics, obviously. But also going to talk with him about the development of Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala. How has Crowder taken a significant step forward in his production, and how has Iguodala fit in with the Heat's culture there in Miami? Also going to talk about Justice Winslow, what to expect when Winslow finally is on the court with the Grizzlies next year. And finally, we're going to talk about the Heat's, the amazing ability of the Heat to develop players. A lot like we have been impressed by Taylor Jenkins with the Grizzlies this season, the Heat have done the same. There's not a team outside of the Grizzlies, there's not a team in the NBA who has had more contributions from young sources like the Heat have. So going to talk about that as well, as we see a similarity between Miami and the Grizzlies, and hopefully in time the Grizzlies will have the same level of success the Heat have had from their ability to develop talent. But for this last segment of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast for this week, and also of the player review series, the player I've been wanting to talk about quite a bit, Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr., the thing about it is that 2 years in to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s career, I feel the best way to summarize his development as a player is that there are areas of his game where he is significantly more talented and more productive in than we had thought, especially in non-traditional ways, like being able to shoot the three on the fast break and the ability to drive for a man his size, like we see him put on display this year. However, other parts of his game are still a work in progress. The consistency on defense, obviously the ability to foul less, and eventually the ability to at least come up, to at least be able to produce reasonable rebound rates. There's been a lot of discussion, and again, just as many people have pointed out, the thing about it is this, is that we're in September. It's September in the year 2020. Jaren Jackson Jr. turns 21 this month. And that's the thing to remember about it, is that he really is a very unique talent. There have rarely been talents like him in the NBA, in NBA history. That's not saying that he's to a level that few other talents have been in NBA history in terms of him potentially being an all-time great, but for his size and skill set, it's a unique combination. For Jaren Jackson Jr., the big thing about it is this, is that there was a significant difference between his scoring profile last year and scoring profile this year. What do I mean by that? Well, when it comes to where he took his shots, the average distance of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s shots went from at 10 feet this in his rookie season to 15 feet this year. The significance of that is that nearly 76% of his shots were two-pointers in the 2018-2019 season. This year, just over half of his shots were two-pointers. Nearly 49% of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s shots were from three. But the thing about it is this, is that it fit the philosophy of Taylor Jenkins. It fit a need for the Grizzlies. Yeah, in a traditional sense, you'd love to see Jaren Jackson Jr. continue to show production in the paint, but if the man with his size can get open for threes and can shoot them and be reliable and shoot them consistently as he showed he could, then, you know, hey, if it fits the coach's scheme, go with what you have. Ja Morant said it best himself when Jaren Jackson Jr. went down with his injury in the bubble. It's like we have a 7-foot shooting guard. You know, yeah, you can look at the negatives of that, but for the Grizzlies, it's really embracing the strengths, and they seem to certainly have do it. Jaren Jackson Jr. certainly seems to be a good fit for Taylor Jenkins' system, and we'll see that in just a moment. But overall, Jaren Jackson Jr., he played in 57 games this year, still with a little bit of an injury concern. There was the absence of Jackson Jr. right after the All-Star break before the suspension of the season. So overall, Jackson Jr., he scored 17.4 points per game. He averaged 4.6 rebounds, 1.4 assists, shot 47% from the field. Yes, that was the decline from 50% the year before, but again, we're talking about a significant difference in the distance that he regularly shot from. The big thing about it is Jaren Jackson Jr. averaged 6.5 threes per game and made 2.5 of them. Overall, he shot 368 threes and made 145 for them on the year. There has not been a player before the age of 21 who has had a higher combination of three-point shots and blocks than Jaren Jackson Jr. What does that indicate? It indicates that his perimeter presence on offense is much more significant than we had thought, while also still having the capability of being a playmaker on defense. His block percentage remained consistent. It was around 5% both his rookie season and his sophomore season. His usage went slightly up. His turnovers went slightly down. The other big thing about Jackson Jr.'s game, obviously, is the fouls. Now, that still remained. You know, he averaged 3.8 fouls per game in his rookie year, averaged 4.1 fouls his sophomore year. But the thing about it is that it seems as if Jackson Jr. is getting a little bit more knowledgeable on how to use his hands. Him and Taylor Jenkins, I think that training camp before the bubble, even though we saw it in three games, it seemed to be less of a concern that Jackson Jr. was going to foul out in those three games when he really emerged as a difference maker, especially in that Portland game. But the big thing about it is in terms of the Jaren Jackson Jr.'s play, is like we have seen other players described. With Jackson Jr., he certainly is a unique talent. He offers unique production. The consistency that you would like to see from a player his size, the low being a low post anchor on defense, and then rebounding and post presence on offense. The hope is, along with the fouls starting, you know, to be less of a concern, you would love for those areas of his game to develop. But when it comes to his development, you don't want your focus to be squarely on that. You want to focus on the preferences that he has, because he is definitely a significant talent. You want to focus on the preferences that he has and the strengths of his game. And I think that's why Taylor Jenkins is a perfect coach for Jaren Jackson. Not only is he going to develop the strengths of his game and focus on that while also trying to make sure that the other parts of his game become passable, but he's going to not only focus on Jaren's strengths, but he's going to enhance them, allow for them to get better. Not only is Jaren Jackson one of the best shooting bigs in the game right now, he truly is in terms of frequency and accuracy. He truly is one of the best shooting bigs in the history of an NBA for the start of a big's career. I'm not saying he's going to be the best shooting big of all time. I am saying that he certainly has the ability to develop into a true premier outside presence in this game among the bigs that play the game. In time, we'll see what value that has. The hope is that Jaren develops the consistency on defense to truly become a two-way player, a different type of 3-and-D animal, not necessarily offering perimeter D, but more being the defensive anchor that we hope he can develop. Whether that's him eventually developing into the 5, I don't know. But with Jaren Jackson, I think the big thing for the Grizzlies, and for those that watch them, I think that you would love for the traditional skill sets for a man Jaren's size to develop and to make him more, had to give more depth, to make him a more of an across-the-board producer. But I also think that you don't want to box him into the traditional sense of the position that he plays. Non-traditional thinking, forward thinking, having an open mind like we've seen Taylor Jenkins have, I think that's what's going to maximize the unique skill set that Jaren Jackson Jr. offers. And in Taylor Jenkins' system, I think that's going to allow for Jaren Jackson Jr. to, even if those other skills do not develop, you know, to be significant, or even if they just stay passable as he develops, I still think Jaren Jackson Jr. has an all-star type ceiling due to the contributions he can make on offense for shooting and on defense with his ability to block and ability to move. So with Jaren Jackson Jr., yes, everybody, there are ways in which he can improve his game. But for the type of player that he has emerged to seem to be, there's still plenty of room for development, and there's an obvious want to develop, and there's the obvious, you know, desire for him to put in the work to develop. He's shown glimpses that he can improve in the areas that he needs to improve. But for what he has shown so far in his career, I think that there is an all-star ceiling. I think that he truly could be the second piece to Ja Morant in a consistent Western Conference playoff contender and one day title contender. And I really do think that Taylor Jenkins is the perfect coach, has the perfect ability to communicate, has the perfect system for Jaren Jackson Jr. to develop, and the perfect connection with Jaren Jackson Jr. at this point in his career for him really to continue to develop into the all-star player we all hope that he can be. That'll do it for our player review series. Can't thank you enough for joining us on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's been fun going over the different players who have really emerged as difference-making talents for the Grizzlies. Obviously, I did not specifically mention Ja Morant and Brandon Clark. We talked about them a couple of Fridays ago, in which we talked about just how rare they were as a historical duo. But as you can see, there are some players who may not be with the Grizzlies next year, but there's several players who have exceeded expectations this year, who are on their way to ceilings many did not expect from them at the start of their careers, and it really is a compliment to the front office and Taylor Jenkins and his staff for them to basically to have seen this through, really developed a roster, and you can see from the individual reviews that we've done why this team is viewed as one of the best up-and-coming cores in the NBA. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to us. Check out the podcast on Monday. Again, we'll be with David Ramil from Locked On Heat, talking with him about the Heat's magical run and also really talking about some, you know, Jay Crowder, Justice Winslow, the Heat's ability to develop players and how it relates to the Grizzlies. Looking forward to that. Until next time, hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.